In 1991, African-American law professor Anita Hill walked into a political firestorm when she testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee during the confirmation process for Clarence Thomas, the first African-American nominee to the Supreme Court. In a calm, dignified voice, she detailed the alleged sexual harassment she suffered from Thomas when he headed the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. It was a turning point in American history and ignited a national debate about gender equity, sexual misconduct, and power in the workplace. The new film, Anita, Speaking Truth to Power, will run at the Guild Cinema in Albuquerque through June 23rd. I spoke with the film's director, Frida Lee Mock. Why did you want to revisit Anita Hill's story some 20 years after all this came down?
I had not thought of revisiting it and had not thought about the hearings, you know, since probably 92, 93. Really, it was something that was very dramatic for many of us watching and memorable. But beyond that, I didn't know what had happened to her. In fact, I remember meeting her in Los Angeles right after the hearings when she was doing some talks. And actually, I interviewed her maybe 5 years, 8 years later for a film on an African-American writer. But beyond that, I had no thought about doing a film about Anita Hill. A friend of hers called me simply to say she wanted me to send a film I had done on the playwright Tony Kushner to a friend of hers. She didn't tell me who it was. She just said that this friend is often asked to cooperate in a film, which kind of perked my interest. I was like, curious who this might be, you know. I said, why do you want the Tony Kushner film? She said, well, her friend loved it and felt that she wanted her friend to see what a good film was like. And she said she was concerned she might say yes to the wrong filmmaker. I said, oh, that's flattering. I said, okay, fine. I asked her, okay, what's the address and what's the name? And when she said Anita Hill, I remember I said, Anita Hill? This is a bang. This is a light bulb went on. A name I hadn't really thought about for decades, I'm sure. I said, okay, I'll send her the Tony Kushner film. And I actually included a note with that film in the Maya Lin film. And I just said, you know, if you're considering saying yes, if you're going to say yes to a filmmaker about doing a film about you and your work, would you consider me? That's all I said. And so she called me. Whatever I said to her, because I've heard her say in festival questions, she just said she trusted me. That's what she said. I didn't ask her. You know, I just said I'd like to do this film. It's about your work and life. The 20th anniversary was coming up in 2011. I thought it was a wonderful time with a perspective of time to both look at her life and what happened to her, both professionally and then and now, and also to the issue of sexual harassment then and now. So I thought it was a great way to deal with both a very kind of personal look at a character and also a kind of epic look at our country through this issue.
Your film opens with a really interesting and now infamous phone call in 2010 from Virginia Thomas, wife of Clarence Thomas, to Anita Hill, and she asks Anita Hill to apologize for the testimony she gave in 1991. Why did you want to start the film with that?
And I thought it was a great way to pull you into both the past and the present. You know, that phone call links today and the past as a way, which is what the film is about, you know, looking at today and the past to see where we have come from, you know. So it allowed us to really contemporize the story, I felt, because really what that phone call says, as Anita says, it shows how raw the feelings are still from the hearings 20 years ago.
You know, one of the most memorable slurs against her was by David Brock, who since recanted, but he's the one who called her a little bit nutty and a little bit slutty. And I don't think you use that in the film, but you demonstrate very well these attempts to assassinate her character. And as I watched it again, in front of all these white, old white men on the Senate Judiciary Committee grilling her, it reminded me of what can happen in rape trials when a defense attorney tries to impugn the character of a victim.
Exactly. Especially in her case, this was not a trial, so there was not the benefit of cross-examination and a real trial where you would have a defense.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you know, with an attorney. It was simply, from her point of view, you know, those hearings are supposed to be fact-finding. But instead, as we know what happened, it became a fight. And it was really a fight between the arch conservatives and others.
Well, and I think it's interesting. You show that there are a lot of Democrats who supported her. Joe Biden chaired the committee hearings. They had limits on how far they'd support her.
In the end, as Jill Abramson said, it's politics.
But I think it's interesting. You showed some of the men who stayed close to support Anita Hill. They were going against a little bit of the prevailing attitude in some of their communities. Like
But Professor Oglesby said, he was the only black man who would stand up publicly behind her. Mm-hmm. And he felt it was so important to do so. He said, you know, in response to Clarence Thomas's using the race card, what about the legal lynching of black women? She and he took it out of the race issue and talked about it as a sexism issue. By clouding it with race, then, as he said, no one wanted to touch it.
Your film shows the immediate aftermath that followed her testimony, and I don't know if a lot of us were really aware of that. What did she face?
She was, you know, vilified and targeted, you know, with smear campaigns and threats and all that. I had no idea. I was just stunned. So that was a very important story. It's like, what happens to private citizens, regardless of who you are, you know, black or white or whatever, when you answer a call to, you know, it's a duty as a citizen to testify? What happens to you when you end up walking into a political storm? She said, you know, was I supposed to dodge it? Or she felt I just had to, she wouldn't hide.
She had security guards taking her to and from work?
She had to, because her life was threatened. Her school was threatened. I mean, it was like, what? I mean, the things they went, it became a very political thing, of course, and the politicians got involved. They said, oh, they hadn't paid attention to her. She'd been tenured for years, and all of a sudden they realized she's famous now, and what is she doing on our faculty, you know? Of course, they probably didn't realize she was tenured, so they tried to go after her. I mean, it was just, in one sense, it was hilariously funny how they went after her. They couldn't get rid of her because she was tenured. They went after, you know, her dean, and then they tried to close a law school. But that's crazy.
I mean, she got these thousands of horrible messages and letters, also thousands of wonderful.
Supportive, and which were, for her, very transformative. She said those letters sustained her during that time. And, you know, you're just like Obama here reads, to keep in touch, you know, the real people, you know. The real people are talking to you in those letters. And she's, I guess, during that very tumultuous post-hearing time, you know, she's trying to be protected to her parents, who are, they've been raised, you know, kind of innocently. I mean, these are things you don't talk about. You know, they're almost into the 80s, you know, and this is going on, the turmoil. I mean, their last child, you know, being threatened. And, yeah, but they're very, very private about it, I think, you know. So for the book and for the film, she talked about it.
I loved all the footage you showed of her family.
Her family is a very important part of explaining. People say, well, how could she stand up with such poise and dignity and strength in the hearings? And they said, where'd that come from? You know, it comes from how she was raised and that mother. Her family explains a great deal about who she is. You know, it's a wonderful family, very close-knit. There are things you hope happen in a documentary. You know, maybe 85% is planned, but the other part, you are happy. When I, for example, when the niece was getting married, I said, oh, my goodness. I said, do you think I can film it? You know, which means that, you know, the extended family of 13-plus with their family, kids, you know, you get a chance to feel out their family.
If you're just joining us on Women's Focus, I'm Megan Kamrick, and you're listening to an interview I did with Frieda Lee Mock. She's the director of a new documentary about Anita Hill called Anita, Speaking Truth to Power. It runs through June 23rd at the Guild Cinema in Albuquerque. How have younger women reacted to this film?
Younger women, the next generation, which is the target audience that Anita hopes the film will appeal to, and it's the reason she made the film, they've been very, very receptive. Mm-hmm. And I find the younger ones are actually emotionally speechless. I think it speaks a lot to them that what they're going through, they've experienced a certain amount of harassment. You know, it certainly is in college. 1 out of 5 mm-hmm. women are going to be raped. That's just statistically. And in the workplace, even though things are mandated in terms of sexual harassment training, you know, how do you navigate the subtleties, you know? Are you going to rock the boat? Your career's at stake. The job's at stake, you know? Publicly, it's, you know, it's out there. You're not supposed to do this. But I think the good part is there's collective information that it can quickly mobilize, like social media. I think the reason the campus sexual assault thing is so big now is because of social media. The women are sharing their experience, whereas before they were isolated. So quickly their stories are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they have a greater sense of support and solidarity. Historically, I think women were very isolated, and you were told, you know, if you asked your grandmother's generation, your, you know, mothers, you know, you didn't talk about it. You just put up with it. I guess we've never heard people speak that way, speak at her, a person yeah. that way. I think women in particular are aghast.
It's shocking to see it again.
Well,
it really is.
It's actually, that's why it's great. I think I'm happy that 20 years later we kind of put it together in a kind of a form that reminds us of the good that has come out of that.
You know, it's clear in the film she's a very reluctant public figure, even now. But she does seem, you see that this experience caused her to shift and to sort of embrace that role.
Absolutely. I mean, she otherwise, you know, she's a dork. You know, I mean, in the sense that she loves contracts and commercial law. That was what she had planned, you know, seemingly for her professional life. And really, she might have always has stayed in Oklahoma all her life. But her world dramatically changed, as she says in the film. And it was those letters that really transformed her. Mm. They really spoke to her. And she knows that she's a public figure, a reluctant one, but she can make a difference by speaking up. But she thought she'd speak for 2 years and it'll be finished. You know, no. And so now more than ever, and I think the film was an opportunity for her to actually reach the next generation through a medium they're much more familiar with, which is media, film and media, as opposed to books, you know.
What do you think the most important impacts were of her testimony and her story on women, on men, on politics, on the workplace?
I think the most important impact on all of us, of all the things you've mentioned, is that finally someone actually talked openly in a national publicized forum about sexual harassment, about what it was like in the workplace to even bring that issue finally out in the open, out in the shadow. And the ripple effect in every sense, you know, today, 20-something years later, the military, the hearings on military assault, I feel, is a direct result of having that public conversation beginning 20-something years ago. We're just much more aware and sort of inspired to speak out, really, to say that you have, and I think that fact that you see someone giving voice to herself and to the issue. I mean, you might remind yourself, and certainly the film does that, you know, if you do that, well, look at what happens, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, as difficult as it may be, some remarkable, important changes can happen. I don't know where we'd be if that hearing hadn't been televised. What do you think in terms of sexual harassment in the workplace? We'd be in the same boat, right? It took that kind of dramatic hearing to explain it in terms of everyday life.
Frieda Lee Mock's new documentary about Anita Hill, Anita, Speaking Truth to Power, will run at the Guild Cinema in Albuquerque through June 23rd. For Women's Focus, I'm Megan Kamrick.